Now, on to our interview. Our guest, Suzanne Taubert, is also known as the Queen Bee. And she tells me this morning that she didn't name herself the Queen Bee. Her students did. Suzanne is an author, a speaker, adjunct professor at Bastyr University, and a guest blogger at Mountain Rose Herbs. And Suzanne is the founder and director of the Cedar Mountain Herb School with a campus here in Sandpoint. We are so excited to have Suzanne here. And let's start, Suzanne, by introducing yourself to our listening audience.
Julie, thank you again. I've been teaching herbal medicine for, I kind of lost count, somewhere around 38 years. But I have been with plants my entire life. I remember as a little girl, you know, picking mounds of violets and dandelions, giving them to my mom and putting them in little vases that were my great-grandma's and having them in my bedroom. And speaking about my bedroom, at one count, I had 29 plants in there, live plants, you know, on the floor, hanging from the ceiling, on dressers. And, you would open up my door and it would be an avalanche of oxygen coming out. And there wasn't another live plant in the entire house. So, I mean, that's from when I was a tiny little kid, you know. So spring forward to today, as I was leaving my house, I peeked back and looked at my bedroom, and there's about 29 plants in my bedroom. And of course, now, you know, it's my house, so I have plants everywhere. But that passion has always been with me. And I have been so blessed that I've always known what my path was. Always. And some people struggle to the end of their day going, what is my purpose in life? And my purpose is to sharing what I know about plants with people who are willing to learn.
A born botanist.
Amen to that.
That's right. So we've had you on so many times and we've always talked just about herbs. But today, let's focus on your Cedar Mountain Herb School. It's the dead of winter and it's a perfect time to learn something new. And I thought I would introduce people to your webpage because there are so many opportunities there to learn about herbs. So how did you learn about herbs?
I learned mostly by doing. Again, I just immersed myself in the plants constantly. You know, and as a small child, I wasn't, you know, reading research papers that I do today to dive really deep into, you know, the plant constituents and how they affect the body on a physiological level. But I've always had a love for plants. I've always planted, picked, harvested, you know, made mud pies with, you know, straw and hay in it. And so I didn't have any formal education, which if you think about it, sounds pretty crazy since I've been a professor at Bastyr University yes. for 12 years teaching people, you know, about anatomy and physiology and, you know, and I'm what's called an autodidact. So I search for the knowledge and not from one particular place. And that gives me, I believe, a well-rounded education that you really can't get. And the experience that I have with the plants, being out with them, literally sitting next to the plants and watching them for weeks, months, years at a time, have taught me so much more than I ever could have learned sitting in a classroom.
It says on your website, a bioregional herbalist. Again, tell us what that means and what your focus is.
So that means that I concentrate on the plants that grow around me. And I think that is so important. If we're going to talk about foraging or self-reliant herbalism, medical freedom, that sort of thing, we need to be informed about what resources we have available to around us that's either free or very low cost. What are all our alternatives? Can we go out in the woods and find the exact medicine that we need in plant form? And then how to take that plant, that raw plant and make it into a remedy or remedies that can be used. So that is what my focus is. Do I know about, you know, a plant that grows in Brazil? Sure, I know about it because I love plants and I don't, you know, discriminate. You know, if you're a plant from Italy, I love you. If you're a plant from North Idaho, I love you just the same, you know, but my focus is what's growing around here. And since I lived in Washington, Western Washington for 42 years, my scope of expertise goes really from, you know, mid-California all the way up, you know, into Canada, Alaska, and over through Montana. Because, you know, there's a lot of so many similar plants.
Sure, sure. We all share kind of that habitat,
true,
really.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do with herbs before starting your school? Because you've always been in the herbal business, is that correct?
Always.
Always.
Yeah, in one form or another. It just, you know, just when you said that, it reminded me, when I lived in Seattle, I was in my 20s living on Capitol Hill, which is was at the time the hippie enclave in Seattle, and I fit right in on that. And I lived on the fourth floor of an apartment building. Most of us on that floor were friends, knew each other really well. So doors were never shut or locked, and people would just wander in and out of each other's apartments. And I would be making salves. You know, I was an urban forager, so I would go around. I knew where there was a patch of fennel, you know, and I would pick the fennel and dry the fennel and make fennel tea. And it smelled really good. It smelled like licorice, right? And so my neighbors, aka friends, would wander in for a cuppa, you know, and it just, it expanded from there, you know, and making salves, making tinctures. And I worked at an herb store in my late 20s, too, called Tenzing Momo. That was a freak magnet, if I ever, if I ever knew one. Oh, my goodness. That was at the Pike Place Market. And I spent a number of years there really honing my craft. Mm-hmm. And I was their herb buyer, too, for several years.
Wow, what a start. Mm-hmm. In herbs.
Yeah.
Did you sell at markets and things too? Your own products?
I did. That came later.
Okay.
I sold at farmers markets and street fairs for 27 years.
Wow.
It's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work.
You know, and I was teaching at the same time. And, you know, all the products that I sold, I harvested the plants myself in the wild.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
You know, and I'm processing them. I'm making the remedies, I'm packaging them, I'm labeling them, I'm setting up at the fairs and the farmers markets week after week after week, you know, and then being on, and people would, I remember one time someone brought their little kid up to me and held her up and said, "She needs help. What do you got?" And so, you know, I'm really leery of diagnosing, mm-hmm. you know, but if you give me what, you know, what the issue is, I could perhaps help. And with this girl, she did, and I was able to help her. Word got out, mm-hmm. you know, and gosh, you know, I was able to keep the roof over my head. This whole, you know, all the time I was single, all the time I was married, whatever it was, I was providing for myself and what I needed. And I worked debt-free for that whole time.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very lucrative business. But then I got older.
Yes.
Right?
And hard work. It's hard work.
Yeah. I mean, just the, you know, putting things in and out of the truck and canopies and lifting totes, you know, heavy totes and all of that, it started to wear me out a little bit. And so I remember one time praying and saying, can I make this leap from selling products to just teaching? Because as I said, I was teaching at the same time too. I had apprenticeship programs. I had one day workshops and I fit them in on days when I wasn't, you know, selling. And I just wanted to teach. And you know what? God provided. And it was like the second I made that decision to not do the markets anymore, I had a flood of students come to me.
Wow. Well, yeah. You turned your attention
right
to educating.
Right. And I didn't have a website back then. That was all word of mouth.
That's it's an advantage to live in the big city because, oh, and plus all those contacts you've made through the years.
Right.
My gosh.
Right.
So all gardeners want to share their knowledge with each other and other people. But I find herbalists are passionate about sharing it. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the key word is passionate. We love what we do. I'm speaking for myself. Mm-hmm. I love what I do. And I love sharing it. I never had kids to pass it on to. I have to pass it on to somebody. I'm a talker, as you know. So, you know, just say the word plant and I'm off like a racehorse or a greyhound. You know, I'm ready to roll with that. Yeah. And, you know, people will ask me questions all the time. And up to a point, I'll answer them. But if it comes to, okay, now you need to do the apprenticeship with me because you've asked me 147 questions. And, you know, like anybody, I don't work for free.
Right.
You know, up to a point.
Right. They have to take it on because you can share your passion, but they have to find their own passion.
They do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I do offer so much. And my programs, they're so in-depth, right? And people learn so much. And it's hard to verbalize what all they learn. But I can tell you, my students, they cry all the time when they're with me. And not because, you know, they're sad, but the feeling of I'm in my community. I found my tribe. I love these plants. I love you. You're the best teacher I've ever had in my entire life. I just am where I am supposed to be. Happens over and over and over again. And you know what? That's I do need money to buy my shoes, you know, but that's better.
Yes.
That reaction to people.
Yes.
And then sending them out into the world to do what they want to do next. It's a beautiful thing.
That really is. So mm-hmm. meaningful. On your webpage, you talk about self-reliance and medical freedom
yes.
in the knowledge of herbs. Explain that for us. Exactly what do you mean about that? Self-reliance and medical freedom.
Well, self-reliance is... Do I feel confident going out into the woods and knowing what gold thread looks like? Am I going to harvest the right plant? Do I feel confident in the identification? Do I feel confident in knowing how and when to harvest it, what part of the plant, and what is the best menstruum to pull out and preserve what I'm looking for from that plant? And then do I know how to utilize it well? So self-reliant herbalism really is gaining the skills that a person needs to really step forward in confidence with the medicine that they're able to make. And then medical freedom is choice. It's all about choice. You know, I'm all for, if I break a leg, I want to go and get it set by a doctor,
mm-hmm.
right? My husband had surgery yesterday on his foot. Hi, Gottfried. and I couldn't do that. Comfrey couldn't fix what was going on, you know, but it's an option. But I'm looking to see what are our other options. Personally, I have my favorite massage therapist, Robin Hurley, I go to. She's, for what I need, she's the best. So that's an option for me. Jamie Davis at Lake Life Acupuncture, you know, I go see her every week because she's part of my team that helps me to lead a more healthy life. So I want to know what my choices are. Do I take herbs? Yeah. Every day, you know, and that's my choice. So it all comes down to confidence and choice. If I was going to speak two words for those.
Confidence and choice.
Confidence and choice.
So speaking of confidence and choice, in your school, on your webpage, why don't we give people the address of your webpage right now so maybe they could even go on and look at
follow
it while,
along.
Yeah, while we're talking about it.
CedarMountainHerbs.com. CedarMountainHerbs.com.
Very easy. So many learning options. Let's begin with your books.
Oh.
You've published...
Two
books.
So far.
Wild and Beautiful, an herbal encyclopedia for naturally healthy Skin and Quest for Calm, Herbal Empowerment for Resilient Emotional Health. And you have another book in the works. Tell us a little bit about that.
That one is called The Homesteader's Guide to Foraging. I've been working on that book since April. I have so many books in me. And at the beginning of last year, 2025, I thought I need to find a publisher. I know my plants. I don't know publishing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to self-publish and do all that rigmarole. So I was just praying to find a publisher. And one day I opened up my email and this beautiful woman named Brittany from Lions Press in Maryland said, "Hey, would you consider writing a book on foraging for homesteaders?" And I said, "Well, thank you. Yes." And so we got on a Zoom call and we talked about it. She's super excited. It was crazy. I asked her, "How did you even find me?" And that was through social media, social media. But, you know, it brought her to me. And I still had to write, even though they said, "We want you. We love your website. We love what you know. Your passion really comes through on your website. You have so much to offer," which I agreed to. But I still had to do the proposal. Oh my gosh. It's like the Inquisition, all the questions and, you know, who is this going to be marketed to and how, you know, all this stuff. And I decided in the proposal I would send them one of my plant monographs, and I did it on raspberry, wild raspberry, Rubus parviflorus. And she came back to me like 2 days later and she said, "Okay, we wanted you to write about 20 plants, but if you do all 20 plants this length, that section of the book alone was going to be 700 pages long." And I said, "You haven't really heard me speak yet, so..."
More of an encyclopedia.
Yeah. So I said, "Give me parameters."
Good.
And she says, "Okay, so actually we don't want 20 plants. We want 50 plants." And I thought, okay, here we go.
And when will this be published and when will this be available?
2027. Right. So I wrote the monographs. Oh my gosh, it was what a slog. It was so much work because it was 25 plants at 3,000 words, which I never hit 3,000. It was always a little over. And then they wanted 25 plants at 350 to 400 words. And what they wanted in that 350 to 400 words would never happen. So those ended up being about 525. There's a chapter on medicine making, the remedies, you know, step by step on plant remedies like medicinal oils, salves, the basics, but then flower remedies. And then I dive deep into charts, what alkaloids need to be able to be pulled out, you know, what proof alcohols, that sort of thing. And then there's a whole chapter on foraging itself. What does it mean? Where to find your places? What I think of my rules, right? What tools do you need? What are you looking out for? Where to harvest, where not to harvest? What are safe places? Do you bring a buddy with you? Yes. You know, and then there's an introduction. And that's all written. Most of it, there's just a couple little editing things left. And then the fun part, I go into my 17,000 pictures on my, I guess it's not a camera roll anymore. I don't know what it's called anymore, on the cloud, and pick out 180 pictures that correspond with the plants and the different chapters. So that's going to be a lot of fun because I know as I'm going through the 17,000, I'm going to see a meme that I like that I'm going to send to my brother, or I'm going to send to you, Julie, and we're going to crack up for a while. Then I got to get back to work. But I have until February 15th.
Okay.
So, and it's, I'm just so excited about this book because it is so well done and it gives so much information. The long plant monographs give how to identify it, you know, what's its botanical key identifiers, what are lookalikes. So, is this wild raspberry or is this, you know, something that might be poisonous,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
So, and I talk about what's all in there, homesteading tips? Like, mm-hmm. how can a homesteader use this? Not for medicine, but how else can this plant be used, right? What do indigenous peoples use it
sure.
for? What's folklore even? And then general medicine, phytochemistry, what are the chemicals inside of it? What are their actions and solubility? Then remedies, and then recipes. Oh my gosh, all in 3,000 words. They wanted me to not put in my stories, which pained me to no end because I'm a woman of, I teach through stories.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is going to be a synopsis of your apprenticeship program.
In a way, it is.
Uh-huh. Let's talk a little bit about your apprentice program.
Okay, that's my favorite thing.
Okay.
Because I get to be with people. I get to be with people, take them out in the woods or by Lake Pendere or, you know, in Sprague to harvest sage or wherever it is. We're there with the plants in their habitat. I get to teach in front of the plants, have the students touch them, taste it if it's appropriate, harvest, make field remedies, learn about dosages, learn the specific chemicals that are, you know, creating changes in the body, creating health in the body. And I get to watch their faces and they get me, you know, in person so they can ask their questions as they come up. And then, you know, they have a course that they're on. They can, and we always have a text thread too. So the questions and the realizations and that just fly back and forth all the time. It's just amazing. And sometimes their paths change. I always thought I was going to do this, but now that I'm in your apprenticeship, actually, this is what I'm going to be pursuing. And I have people coming from all over. Right now in the program, I have two people so far signed up. It doesn't start till May. So there is plenty of time, but there is a limit. I only take 15 people. So, you know, that needs to get full. But she moved here from Hawaii just to do the apprenticeship.
Wow.
Right. And she's here already and already asking questions. And it's just very sweet. I've had people come from Hungary to do my apprenticeships. I've had, you know, ER doctors, you know, all kinds of people in the medical field because patients come to them and say, you know, can I take turmeric if I'm on this drug? Mm-hmm. Or can I take turmeric instead of this drug? And savvy doctors want to know.
Well, medical knowledge, just like you're teaching, they want to know as well.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. And then I have, you know, the gal who's raising her family and wants her kids to eat whole foods mm-hmm. and be able to serve her family in a way that creates health. And it's not just about plants. I teach about healthy lifestyles, right? So we're cooking with the you know, herbs are, you know, culinary herbs are medicinal too, mm-hmm. right? So they're making herb salts and they made herb dollies. So they got, I have a very large garden, as you know, it's mm-hmm. like 4,000 square feet plus. It's spread out mm-hmm. now. It has gone beyond its fence. And they got to pick whatever, you know, they started with, what was it? Oh, a garlic, a head of garlic.
Oh.
what's the hardneck garlic mm-hmm. that still had the neck on it. And then they wove for arms echinacea, which are stiff, right? And then they got to make a bouquet to tie around it. And then we talked about why did you choose these plants, right?
Right.
So, and that they learned as well. So it's not just hardcore phytochemistry. It's a lot of fun, a lot of stories, a lot of sharing, and they leave having a very good knowledge. And my apprenticeships, I gear them to the beginner and advanced. So anybody in between, and I can talk to all of them at the same time in a way that everybody gleans an amazing amount of information in a way that they all understand. And if I have to stop and clarify, I do that.
This right? goes on all through the summer. And mm-hmm. is it like twice a month?
Okay. So it starts mid-May and it ends mid-September.
So you get to see as everything grows and blooms
yes.
and through all the phases of the plants as well.
Right. And so we meet every other week.
Okay.
The week that we don't meet, I give them videos documents that I've written, lessons. They may have a some projects to complete, which are doable. You know, I'm that person who I expect excellence, but I don't overtax. You know, being adjunct professor at Bastyr, the students come to me wiped out from the academics. You know, they might be in there to become a naturopath or a horticulturist, or, you know, they're in the botanical medicine program to be a master herbalist, and they are just inundated with book learning. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, my little chickadees, let's go out in the woods. You need to see these plants for real instead of just what they look like in a picture. Right. And that's what I can, that's what I bring to people, the experience, the hands-on experience. And I like to blend the two. I love to blend the two. And then, you know, they can download the videos and all of the documents that they get. They get, you know, discounts at American Herbalist Guild and Mountain Rose Herbs because, you know, those companies love me and they give me the discounts to give to my students. And so they, you know, there's so many benefits.
Yes.
And I watch these people, you know, the awe in their faces and the light that dawns when they really get something. And when they come back and say, I tried this on my father who never ate a plant in his life and he loved it and he felt better. And, oh, I rubbed the willow on my husband's neck and he was pain-free for the first time in a month, wow. You know, and that's what they're gaining, that kind of experience that they then ripple out to others in their community.
Right, right. That's the beauty of teaching about herbs, is they're so complicated and endlessly interesting.
Endlessly.
On your website, you also have a some ebooks. Did you write all those ebooks?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Many ebooks. We won't even go into that. There are so many, folks. Check it out on her website.
Oh man.
And then go ahead. You tell us what's your favorite one.
My favorite ebook? Well,
there's Hawthorn, about Hawthorn.
Oh,
about...
that those are the webinars.
Oh, those
right?
are the webinars.
My
I'm sorry.
Ebooks, I have right now, I have five of them. I had to stop writing the ebooks because actually there's one, two, three, six. Because I was writing the book.
Oh, sure.
Right. I had to switch mm-hmm. gears. But, you know, I have an Introduction to Herbal Medicine, a Guide to Self-Reliant Herbalism that is free. And it's on the website, and you just go on the webinar and ebooks page, and you just click on that picture, and you download this. It's quite good,
yes.
You know. And it's I can't remember offhand how many pages is it, but you know, I explain what herbalism is. I talk about plants. I talk about foraging. I talk about, you know, the plant medicine that they can make, and I have building a resilient immune system. So that is so important, because when do we go to a doctor? When we're sick.
Mm-hmm.
But herbalists say, what can we do to gain health, right? Let's talk about how we can be healthy so that we don't need to go to the doctor.
Health
maybe
is
as
the
often.
Focus instead of illness.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Right. So this really explains it. I have a spring herbal cleanse. So spring, knock on wood, is going to come soon. Please, God, send it. I'm not a snow person. Although the snow this morning is so beautiful,
yes,
isn't
yes, it?
Yes, it
is.
So right now I'm writing an article for Homestead Living magazine, and they're the ones that do the Homestead event down in
oh,
June.
Yes, yes.
In Coeur d'Alene. And so they asked me to write an article on spring herbal cleanse. And so I'll be able to use my ebook, you know, to write that and kind of condense it. But it's supporting the body's natural detoxification. And I talk about foods you can eat, herbs you can take. You know, I talk about how hydration is so important and you know, what a cleanse even is and what the goal is in doing the cleanse. And I have a year-round guide to self-care, connection, and natural wellness. That's called A Heart Full of Love. I loved writing that book. It started out as a Valentine's Day recipe book. And then I thought, you know what? Actually, my website manager, Kim Herbst, she said, we need to make this a year-round guide, right? So what can we do? Well, you know, we take care of everybody and not always ourselves, right? Or we don't feel like we should be able to take care of ourselves, or we just haven't. We're eating a bunch of holiday crap. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, yes. You know? So what can we do? You know, we're vessels as women, right? And if we're empty, we have nothing to give. So, and I'm not saying we need all this self-care just so we can give more, although that is part of it, but we need to take care of ourselves to so we can see our own self-worth. We can see how we can connect with other people. We can see how we can be as healthy as we can be to pursue God's purpose in our lives, right? And that's what that ebook is all about, right? At Herbal First Aid, there's so many more.
So many. It's the most amazing body of work, really.
I'm prolific.
You are prolific. Okay, let's go to the webinars.
Whee!
Yay, on to the webinars.
All right. Where are they? Oh, here.
That was the Hawthorne. That's individual.
It is. You know, oh my gosh. How about understanding chronic inflammation and natural strategies for balance? It's said, you know, science says that chronic inflammation leads to just about every disease that we can get.
I have heard that.
Right? From fibromyalgia, leaky gut. Cancers, so many things. And what is chronic inflammation all about? And so this webinar is all about understanding what it is. What's the difference between acute inflammation and chronic inflammation? What is the difference? You know, acute inflammation is I fell, hurt my wrist, and it's swollen.
Right.
Right. Chronic inflammation, it never goes away. Mm-hmm. The immune system is so overly taxed, maybe through pharmaceuticals, maybe through chronic stress, that it's constantly putting out the histamines, constantly. And so the body is just is basically attacking itself, right? And again, that's leading to everything, even, fatty liver disease. Right. And I know for me, if I can't get my rings to move, I got to look at what's going on in my life.
Oh,
right. And so beyond understanding what it is, what are the natural strategies that we can use to mitigate that and to lead a healthier life? Right. And then that goes into my, Quest for Calm webinar. So like I said, chronic inflammation often, more often than not, comes from chronic stress and anxiety. You know, we can get in this loop of, I'm stressed out and then I forget how to calm down.
Right. And it exacerbates it.
Yes.
Yes.
So that happened to me just recently. So I had a lot of deadlines all at once. And, I was going to teach at the Canadian Herb Conference and they wanted a bucket ton of information before. And they wanted not just my keynote slides, they wanted articles and they wanted, it went on and on. And then my editor wanted, I had due dates happening. And, it was the end of the apprenticeship program, which basically saved my life. Not that it ended, but I got to be with them. But there was family stuff. And then my cat got run over and killed.
Oh, gosh.
And, everything kind of came crashing down on me. Wake up with tightness in my chest, cramps in my legs in the middle of the night. You wake up screaming.
Yes,
and you're like, what is happening? I thought nighttime was supposed to be a safe place, but it wasn't. And I gained 8 pounds. Right. My neck was going out all the time, 2-3 times a week.
Gosh.
Pain, constant pain. Right. So I had to screech to a stop. Jamie, my acupuncturist, she said, do less. Don't do more. Do less. And I thought, how am I going to do less right now? Well, I started noticing that I was saying yes when I didn't Me too. Right. So I started not allowing those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I finished what needed to be finished. You know, the conference went so beautifully. It was so much fun. But, you know, I teach from what I know. And I know anxiety. I know stress. And mm-hmm. so I get to teach from that that corner of not, you know, that base of knowledge. And so that particular webinar, that, you know, Quest for Calm is such a good one because I'm not the only one with anxiety out there, right?
Right.
But the thing is, I have the tools. I know what to do.
And what did you do to alleviate the anxiety in that situation? Last year.
Still working on it.
Oh.
Because you know what? It was 3 months of anxiety. Oh, it doesn't just stop.
Good point.
Right? So saying no, eating, oh gosh, you know, I'm coming into baking season and I can't eat sugar, but I was eating sugar.
Sure.
Right? And that's a killer for me. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop. I had to go back to that. Stop eating the potato chips. Right. And I eat, I would say 98% whole foods mm-hmm. and really good. But so my body is so sensitive.
Sure. Changes everything.
It does. Mm-hmm. Right. So saying no, realizing that I can't do anything and I shouldn't even want to do everything. Allowing people to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I was so independent and so single for so many years, I bore the weight. I tell you, still, I've been with my husband 10 years. Every time he does something for me, I go, whoa, that's allowed. And so then I start asking, can you do this for me? And people can ask for help. And guess what? You don't lose any points by asking for help.
No, you give and you get. You have to do both.
It has to go both ways.
It has to go both ways.
Oh my gosh.
What? Describe the monthly subscriptions. That's also on there.
Oh, yeah. My Materia Medica monthly. Oh, my gosh.
Materia Medica. Is that Latin or what?
Materia Medica means here's a plant. Here's, just like I wrote in the book. Here's a plant. Here's what its common and botanical name is. How to identify it. How to use it. What is its medicine? Materia Medica.
Okay.
What is its medicine?
Mm-hmm.
And so, wow, I worked. That was, I started that in September of 2024 and finished all of the work in April of 2025, which is when I started my book. Now I think about it. Oh my goodness. No wonder I'm stressed out.
Amazing. It's just amazing. But that's a monthly subscription and you offer different things through each month, or people can just access?
Well, see, 4 times a month, they receive new insights the Planet Focus.
Mm-hmm.
And we've structured the subscription that way. So they every week, they get something different.
Okay.
Right? So the first week is, when they sign up for the Apprentice or the Materia Medica Monthly, they get an introduction, right? And this is what you're going to be getting every week. And that and some tidbits of information. And then the first plant is dandelion. So the first week is how to identify dandelion. Where does it grow? When do you harvest it? Tons of stories, because nobody said I couldn't, right? The second week is all of the medicine.
Of
that one plant.
Wow.
The third week is remedies, how to make them, what to make, what's the best remedies to make. And the last fourth week is the recipes. And I go through 12 plants in extreme depth, so much information. Some people say it's an overwhelming amount of information. However, they can download it, print it out, put it in a binder, color black and white, and they have that information forever.
Yes.
And that becomes a book. And then at the very end, they get 20 plants, a little bit, you know, like in the book, you know, just, 400, 500 words.
Yes.
To add to it, new snippets. And boy, it's a thorough education about those plants.
It.
And it gives them the skills to be able to go out and harvest. It's all self-study. It gives them the skills to really feel confident to go out and harvest and make medicines and utilize it. Because my stories are about, so many of my stories start with one of my apprentices, right? One of my apprentices harvested this plant and did this with it, you know, and we all learned from that. Or I had a chicken that got attacked, and this is how I healed my chicken with plants. Right. And this particular plant that you're studying about this month. And oh, it's cheap, girl. It's under $300 for the year, or $27 mm-hmm. monthly. Mm-hmm. So it's an incredible deal, and it's an incredible education at the same time.
A self-study program. Mm-hmm. Well, on your website also you say, let food be your medicine and may there always be medicine on your table. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to end our interview talking about Dry January. And when you look at those mocktail recipes, there's always an herbal bitter.
Right.
And I know you make bitters.
I do.
How do you? Give us a recipe.
So,
a delicious recipe mocktail. Let's see, what's
a mocktail? Yes. You know, I was going to start out with chocolate, but I'll use that as the teaser. I'll talk about that second. There's so many herbs that are bitter out there that people say in America, in our culture, bitter is yuck,
mm-hmm.
right? Ooh, I don't like that taste. That's nasty. Like dandelion. And I say, you know, you got to get the medicine of the people in the way they'll enjoy taking so that healing can occur, right? So how do we do it? How do we get these bitter herbs in the people in ways they'll take it? And I think about, I've told this story before, when my dad, it was, ouch, his last few months on the planet, and my nephew and niece and brother came up to visit. He was in an assisted living place near my house. And it was during Easter, and I brought all the traditional Easter food, and I brought hawthorn elixir. And an elixir is honey and alcohol. And I made it out of the hawthorn berries, which are technically a bitter. And I added some of the leaves when I made it as well. And so I put that in fizzy water. Now, hawthorn is the plant that says things are really bad right now, but I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to walk you through this fire onto the cool, wet, dewy grass, right? And I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to help you through. And I knew this was my dad's last Easter. We all did.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew came in, hugged my dad, started crying. And I said, here, have some, let's put this hawthorn elixir in this fizzy water. And I brought little plastic champagne glasses to make it festive. And I had him drink it. Within seconds, I saw that grief starting to melt. And I saw a little smile come on his face. And he told his sister, my niece, Jocelyn, you have some of this. This is really good. It tastes really good. Right? To him, it was just really tasty.
That's all he needed.
Yeah, that's all he needed. And it was a way to help him go through that situation in a way that was bearable to him. And that's just one plant. There are bitters that help us to digest our food better, right? And it's not just, you know, put it into fizzy water, because still, you know, not everybody likes that, right? So, you know, if I'm using a herbal vinegar, like maybe a motherwort infused vinegar, and it's very bitter, I might use that vinegar to make a salad dressing, and then put herbs or put plants in it, like dandelion leaves, mm-hmm. which are, you know, not that bitter. It's doable. Come on, people. and then I'll put that salad dressing over that, right? Uh-huh. And then they're taking in this food that, sure, I have radishes in it, which are also technically bitter, mm-hmm. cucumbers, which are also technically a bitter, right? Depending on the salad leaves too, technically bitters. And they're putting that salad dressing on, and they're taking that in. Their body responds to shut down inflammation. What? To help to digest, to get the digestive acids and juices and enzymes flowing to be able to digest it in a way that our body can take in the nutrients and then the waste products go more easily out. That's what bitters really are all about.
So important. And it's interesting in the mocktails, you know, you're doing a dry January to dry out from the alcohol, but...
Right. So maybe not the tinctures. And that's where herbal vinegars come in, right? And people say, well, if I put a bitter herb in honey, is that technically a bitter? I would say not so much, because that sweet is kind of overshadowing the bitter taste. We got to taste it on our tongue, bitter.
Okay. I had a drink over the holidays that had a vinegar in it. And I thought, oh man, what's this going to be like? And at first, you know, the sour face. But by the end, oh my gosh, it was so refreshing. And I surprised myself how much I liked it.
Right. And you know, your body, it's your body telling your brain, we want more of this.
Yes.
And your brain says, okay, fine, this isn't as bad as I thought it was.
That's exactly what it was.
Right.
That's exactly how it was.
I'm all for the herbal vinegars. And again, you can put it in the flat water. You can put it in the fizzy water. You can put it in the salad dressings, barbecue sauces. And that all works as bitters. And when I use a barbecue sauce, maybe I'll put it on the chicken and put it in the oven. And then the bitter isn't so...
Right. You cooked it out.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I have some extra barbecue sauce on the table to dip the chicken in for that extra barbecue-y taste.
Uncooked,
mm-hmm. And that is medicinal.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Suzanne, we should have like a 10-part series and have you come in.
Why not? I'm in.
This has been so fantastic. Folks, you're listening to KRFY 88.5. I'm not going to shut your mic off. You can go as long as you want.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you have been inspiring students with the joy and excitement of all-natural living for over 35 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Offering an amazing platform for folks all over the world to connect with each other and with nature. And the quote, the plants are always teaching us. All we need to learn is to open our senses to them. You have the most fantastic herbal education in that I have ever seen online, and I've looked at a few, and I'm just so delighted you would come in and share with us 50 minutes of herbal information, herbal joy, herbal excitement. It's just been so great to have you on.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you so much for coming in. And folks, remember that you can find all of this and all the other KRFY morning shows in a podcast form on KRFY.org. If you missed parts of this interview, Spotify has them too. And I'm going to put a song on, and then I'll be back to talk a little bit about the rest of the week on the morning show, and we can go from there. So this is Tommy Emmanuel, Windy and Warm.